The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
The title of today's sermon is, this is New Beginnings 2014, Part 2. All right? You might wonder how many parts there will be. I have no idea. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servant, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word, Father. It is indeed meat and drink unto us. And as we study this morning, teach us the things that your spirit would have us to know, that we might be led by your spirit this day. Watch over those who are watching by the internet. Let them experience you in the same measure and even greater, maybe, than we experience right here in this building at this time. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Each year, as we begin a new year, I'm just like everyone else. It's a time of refreshing, a time of, you know, restarting your generator and rethinking about things. And my thoughts are always towards the church. And Lord, what do you want us to do as a church? What is the theme? What is your heart for us this year? And someone asked me about a word for this year, and so I was really concentrating on that and praying about that. And as I was praying and thinking about it, the Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said this, 2014 will be the year of your dreams. 2014 will be the year of your dreams. And I knew this was of the Lord because it didn't say some other things that I would have said if I'd have thought it up. I'd have said, this is the year that your dreams come true. Or this is the year that you'll get some new dreams. But he said, this is the year of your dreams, personal dreams. When I thought about that, I must say that my first thoughts about dreams are the ones that I've had in the past coming true. And I've had some dreams that have been fulfilled. I had a personal vision one day to assemble and write a book. I've been wanting to do that most of my life. Most of you have heard this story, but for those who haven't, we'll just briefly tell you. When I was in high school, I continued a great tradition that I began in grammar school. I hated school, and I did terrible. You know, and I was taking an English class, and I think I was a sophomore, maybe a junior. And we had a creative writing class that was being taught, and I had an assignment, and I wrote it, and I brought it back in, and my instructor gave me an F. I was used to F, so I didn't really worry about it much. I just hid it and let my parents know. So, you know, I didn't want them to be upset. Bad enough, I was upset. No sense in them being upset. So I didn't tell anybody. So we gave us another assignment, turned in my assignment, got it back, had another F. By the third F, my mother found out. And mother said, what is happening here? What is going on? And I said, I don't know. He's asking me to write some stories. I'm writing them. He gives me a topic. I turn them in. He keeps giving me F. And she said, well, why? I said, well, I don't know. And she said, we're going to find out. I went to an all-boys school. The last thing you want to happen is your mother to go to school with you. My mother went to school with me, all right? And she made me meet with the teacher. He wanted to know what was going on. And he said, your son is copying these from someone else. And she said, no, he's not. I've been seeing him writing. He said, I'm telling you, ma'am, he's been a student here for a long time. He doesn't do this well. He's copied it from someone else. And she said, no, he's not. And my mother looked at me with those little, you know, Italian eyes, and she said, are you copying this from someone else? I said, no, ma'am, no, ma'am. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll believe it if you'll come here Saturday, and I'll give you an assignment sitting in this room, and you write it. So that Saturday, my mother and I went back to the school. Thank goodness my friends weren't there. We met with the teacher. He gave me an assignment. I sat down and wrote the thing, and I gave it to him. And he said, "Oh, my gosh, you really did write this stuff, didn't you?" You know, he said, "You really have an ability to write." And so he gave me an A, and the other Fs got removed, and I got A's. And I've been getting A's in English ever since, all right? Just when it comes to writing, not to spelling and punctuation and all that other stuff. I don't even know what that is, all right? But I've always had this thing inside of me to put a book together. Well, as you can well imagine, over the years I've preached, I've written a lot of stuff. But the newspaper articles that I've been writing for the last several years are being assembled as we speak into a book. Hopefully we'll have it published probably in February or March, all right? So I'm really, really excited about that. So this is the reason I told you that whole story, because it's been a dream of mine to do it, and this is a dream that's going to come true. All right. In fact, I was in the bookstore getting some new offering envelopes, and I asked the owner of the bookstore, I said, "Linda, I've got a book I'm going to be publishing, and could I put it here?" He said, "Absolutely, we'll put them with the front of it, where I put six of them in a row so everybody can see them when they come in." So I said, "Wow, thank you." So I'm kind of ready to get rolling with that. I thought about visions and dreams that I've had for this church, and I've got to tell you that not all of them have come true. Some have, but some haven't. I have been in great dismay for about 12, 13 years now as to where the rest of the church is. I don't know where they are. I mean, I keep looking at these pink chairs or purple or whatever color they are, and I'm really kind of tired of looking at them. I'd much rather look at people sitting in them. So, but it hasn't happened, all right? And I talk to the Lord about that all the time. But it's a dream that I've had to see our church grow and have more folks come. I've had some unclear visions and dreams, things that I don't understand, things that haven't happened, and I wonder about those things. The radio station, it's something that's, I believe that the Lord gave us a vision to do, and it's just hung up, and I won't go into the details of it this morning, but it's just another thing. And I believe I have some new dreams yet to dream. The scripture said the old man will dream dreams. I'm an older man. I'm not an old man. I'm just older. I'm older than I was. I'm not as old as I'm going to be. Okay? So I thought about that. So what I did, and since I have this marvelous thing called a computer and the scriptures on the computer, I went looking up every place in the Bible where it referred to dreams. And there's quite a few places. But the one that just leaped off the page for me was the one that I shared with you this morning about the prophecy of Joel, that in the latter days, these great things would happen. In the center of that, the centerpiece of it, is the visions and dreams that would come. So what I want us to do today is to look at dreams and what God's plan might be for us and our dreams. So what does God want us to do with our dreams? God wants you to remember your dreams. Acts 2, 14 through 17. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says," and we had just read what Joel said, "I will pour out my spirit." It took over 850 years from the time Joel penned those words that we read until they were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, 50 years after the resurrection of Jesus, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. And when it was spoken, and Peter stood up and said, "This is that dream, this is that vision, this is that word from God that was spoken that would come to pass." Up to this point in time, it had been studied, it had been looked over, it had been talked about, it had been dreamed about, looking and waiting and waiting and waiting for the word of Joel to be fulfilled. And it had not happened. And it had not happened. And the years went by, and the decades went by, and the millennium went by. Hundreds of the centuries went by. 850 years. And on that day, That promise was fulfilled. Now, why am I telling you that? Because sometimes dreams take a while to cook. Sometimes it takes a while for everything to get in place. In fact, the 21 days that were going on, one of the reasons that we used that 21 days is when Daniel was trying to get a word from God about something, and it took 21 days. And finally, when the angel showed up, and he had sweat on his brow, and he was tattered and torn, and he had been working hard, and Daniel, this is a paraphrase of it all, just my imagination part of it, said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "Man, I was sent when you first prayed, and it took me this long to battle my way here to give this word to you." I want you to know, beloved, that some of the things that God spoke to your heart, it's going to take some time. But it doesn't mean that it's over. It doesn't mean that God has forgotten. And it doesn't mean that you should forget. You need to remember these things. A floodgate opened up on the day of Pentecost. Prophecy came. Visions came. Dreams began to be fulfilled. Your dreams have not been forgotten. Let me say it again. Your dreams have not been forgotten. You may be discouraged. You may think God forgot them. You may think it'll never happen. I'm telling you, God has not forgotten, and he doesn't want you to forget. What God has placed in your heart is still in his heart. What he said to you in a private time, in your sleep, in a dream, or maybe prophetically someone gave you a word, those words are still yes and amen. They are still true. Don't give up on God just because it's taken a little time. You know, I don't know why we get so frustrated. I mean, the scriptures help us to understand that things take time. Peter said it this way. He said, "Let me tell you what God's like and the kind of watch he has." He said, "With him, one day is like 1,000 years. So, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 80 years means nothing to God. It only means something to us because we have a tendency to fret and worry and try to forget. He said, "Well, that couldn't have been for God. If God gave you a word, it will come to pass." When God gives you a dream and a vision in your sleep, both the message from God that is either for you, it's two things, it's either for you, or it's for you to deliver to someone else. Not every dream and vision you get is just for you. It may be something God wants you to deliver to someone else. You know, that's what it was with the prophets. When they received these words from God, they weren't necessarily for them, but they were something that they would deliver to someone else. So, in order for a dream to come true, in order for it to come to pass, it must be remembered. You need to remember it. What a dream does is stirs your faith to believe that God is at work. Stirs your faith. I remember when I first got saved. And I was not savvy in the ways of the church. I had been to churches, but I didn't know anything about the way God worked and things that would happen. And it's before God spoke to me about what his plan for my life was, I saw myself speaking to groups of people about the Bible. I had barely read the Bible. I mean, this is just days after I came to the Lord. And I'd never had those thoughts before. And I remember the day that Jim Hickman led me to the Lord in his house, he wanted to give me a Bible. He didn't have one, and his church was about a mile away. He said, "Let's go down to my church, and I want to give you a Bible." And we drove down there, and it was an auditorium not much bigger than this. And he had a New Testament called Good News for Modern Man, and he gave that to me. In my dreams, I would see myself in that church speaking to groups of people. And it was so alien to me because I'd never in my entire life had a thought like that. And it wasn't that I was awake. I would wake up with that thought in my mind. And I'd see myself in different places and different occasions speaking that way. I didn't give it much thought other than I thought it was kind of strange. Well, I got saved in August, and I believe it was in October. in a church service where someone was there, and as he was praying, God gave me a vision of him in the church, and I can still see it. I close my eyes. I see it as clearly as I see you. He pointed his finger at me, and he said, "I want you." And it just devastated me. Many of you heard that story. I didn't know what to do with that. I had no idea. But I knew that something was going on. It was all part of this plan that God had placed in my heart. I didn't understand it. And the reason I tell you that, you may not understand it. You may not see the end of it. You may only see the beginning of it. You may only have a glimmer. It may only be a desire of your heart. It's something that God has just been speaking to you that it will come to pass at the appropriate time. As many dreams happen, there are always naysayers to take it away from you. I wish somebody going to come along and take it away from you. That incident happened on a Sunday night. The next Saturday, there was a church fellowship. Pat and I had started attending a little church in town, and we were having a lunch, and someone said, "These guys who think they're called to preach and they've been divorced, they couldn't possibly preach. And those that speak in tongues, that's all of the devil." Well, I had got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues, and God had called me to preach, and I just found out that I wasn't qualified, and I didn't know it. I spent 2 years dealing with that issue. God kept saying, "Come follow me," and I kept saying, people who know better than I do said I couldn't do it because I knew I'd been married and divorced. There's no way that I could do that, you know, and I'd been remarried. You know, so I was disqualified. It took 2 years of God working on me to finally I reached the place where I said, there was just so much pressure on me to do what God's called me to do that I said, "Lord, I'll yield to you, but I won't do anything that you don't lead me to do. I'll never ask to preach anywhere. I'll never push through any doors. I'll never ask to do a thing. I'll just do whatever you open the door to do." And God said, "Okay, I can work with that." And at that moment in time, I turned my life over to him. All the pressure went away, and I began ministering at that day. The interesting part of that little story is that the guy who prayed that day when God called me was from another church in Bogalusa. And he prayed, "Lord, send a man to our church to preach." I was at a kid's camp when I yielded myself to the Lord up in Folsom. After I got finished, the service was over and a lot of people were just running around, you know, milling around, congratulating me. And you know, I was in a whirlwind. I didn't know what was going on. This guy came up to me and he said, "Would you come preach at my church?" And I mean, that's pretty quick, you know. And I said, "Sure." And he walked away. And Pat was there and I said, "Who is that guy?" She said, "I don't know." So I ran after him. I said, I don't even know who you are. What is your name and where's your church?" He gave me his name. And he said, "Oh, my church is in Bogalusa." It happened to be the same church that the guy was visiting down at Slidell 2 years earlier and said, "God, reach out and touch a man and call him to preach." And that's the church that I preached my first sermon in. Now, what does that mean to me? It means everything. Because when I get tired and weary and beat up and want to quit, I remember the dream and how God fulfilled the dream. And I latched onto it, and you can't take it away from me. You can beat me up, you can cuss me out, you can kick me, you can throw me out, but you can't steal my dream, and you can't take the fulfillment of that dream that God gave me. That's when God gives you something. You need to remember it, hold on to it, and it may take some time for it to happen. But in God's divine plan, these things will come to happen. Dreams that we're waiting on need to be refreshed. You need to refresh it. You need to mull over them again. That's one of the good things to do is when God speaks to you, write it down. I'm not real big on daily journals, but when God gives you something, write it down. Pat does this. She writes stuff in her Bible. That Bible is I always criticize her about her Bible because it's an old Scofield Bible. It's the first Bible she ever had, and she's been writing in it ever since we got saved. And I keep trying to get her new Bibles. I buy her new Bibles. She won't use them. She keeps writing that Scofield. the history of Morris and Pat Santangelo are inscribed in this book. She's got it written all over the place. It's been rewrapped, redone. I'm scared to touch it. It might just fall apart. It's so ancient. But she writes things down. And if I want to know something about what God spoke to our hearts before, I can ask Pat. She can take it right to that book and take where, tell you where it is. Not me. I mean, I get a new Bible all the time. You know, this one's so new. In fact, this one, the worst thing to have is a preacher who's got a Bible that looks brand new. But I have an iPad. It's not brand new, okay? So I just use it all on the iPad. So, but you must refresh the dream because it's a reminder that God's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. In Pat's Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, my name is inscribed, and the date is there, a word that God gave to Pat that said that I would one day preach to the nations. It hasn't happened yet. It said that I would tear down things and pull them down, and that I would build up new things. That's what it says in Jeremiah. And it said, don't be afraid of your youth. You know, that God will sustain you and take you through it. Whenever I get discouraged about things, many times I'll go back to that. Now, some of you have already caught this. Yeah, I am preaching to nations via this internet because we've had people around the world, and I forget how many nations now have actually tuned in and listened to these sermons. That's amazing. So I guess in many ways that scripture has been fulfilled. I'd like to think it hasn't really been fulfilled yet, because if I fulfill all the dreams, then what am I going to do? You know, so I just maybe get a new dream. Hallelujah. That's what I like to hear. Okay. Dreams that have died need to be resurrected and energized. If you've had a dream in the devil, the world, your husband, your wife, your kids, your neighbor, some ill-thought person in church stole it from you, no matter what happens, you need to get that dream resurrected. You know, in Christendom, when things die, we resurrect them. We bring them back to life. You may be praying for your children, your grandchildren. You know, maybe they came up in church and now they disappeared. Maybe you couldn't get them in church unless you put a shotgun on them. But God can move and make things happen. Now, I won't use any names, but you're going to know who it is. There's a couple in this church who've been praying for their kids for a long time. You know, they brought them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and they went away. All right? Into adulthood, mature adulthood. And I've prayed with them about this over and over again. And this past year, in the year 2013, one of their children is back in church serving God. Resurrected dream. Don't let those dreams die. The word of God is still true. If you raise a child and nurture in the admonition of the Lord, it says when they're old, they will not depart from it. God will bring them back in. So if you got a vision about your kids, your grandkids, do something about it. Because you're a more mature group, for many of you, you need to remember your grandkids are your DNA. Get after them, little guys. You know? Bring them to church. Teach them. Go there. It doesn't matter what your kids say or think. They didn't pay any attention to you when they were raising them. Why should you pay any attention to them? You know? You want to talk to them? Just go ahead and talk to them about the Lord. It's all right. What are they going to do, cut you off? They're not leaving. You got the money. You got the house. You got the inheritance. They're not going anywhere. You know? They want you to stay around, all right? So just be involved in the lives of your grandkids. Don't let them go off to Never Never Land just because your kids won't do what they're supposed to do. That's a dream and a gift from you. Some of you always wanted to be out of debt. You know, maybe God gave you a vision one day that you'd be out of debt. Well, why not? Maybe this is a year. Resurrect that dream. You never know what God may do to get you out of debt. You know, maybe you'll be like the guy in that movie, Brewster's Millions. Maybe some uncle you don't even know, a billionaire, will leave you $300 million. You could probably get out of debt for a week or two. Some of you. Not all of you. Some of you could. But you had a dream for that happening. Why give up on it? God can get you out of debt. You don't need to live in debt. You don't need to live in poverty. You don't need to live in sickness. You can have a dream and a vision beyond those things. Resurrect it. Begin believing it. You know, some of you gave up on this book. Some of you just forgot about it. I heard a preacher say one time, go home today, get the dirtiest book in your house and start reading it. And then it's usually your Bible because that's where it is. It's dirty. Laying there. The promises are in here. It's not the only promises. God speaks to us outside of this book, but it's the best place I know of to go to get some promises and remember them and refresh your memory to begin to believe God again for some things. Some of you have been saved for a long time and you've lost the edge. You know, you just gotten to be a church member. What a terrible thing to be as a church member. That's why you don't have a membership here. You know, you need to be a kingdom member. You need to be alive and refreshed and believing God for great things. Some of you think your husband and wife will never go to church, or they'll never, you know, turn over and change their lives, or your kids will never serve God. Don't give up. Refresh that gift. You know what God loves? God loves a nag. He loves it. He loves to be nagged. You know, remember the story about the guy, you know, kept banging on the door, kept wanting something, and the guy kept getting there, no. And finally, the guy said, just to shut you up, buddy, here's what you've been asking for. And God said, the kingdom is just like that. Sometimes you need to keep refreshing that. Keep speaking to God about it. I think God might get tired of listening to us sometimes. Just get things going just so we won't keep nagging him about it. Just keep bringing things back to his remembrance. Now, I'm making it funny, but I'm very serious about this. Bring in prayer the desires of your heart, the things that God spoke to you about. And tell him what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your heart. This year, I want you to do this. I want you to ask God for a new vision and a new dream. Ask him for a new vision and a new dream. Now, some of you are going to say, well, God never speaks to me. Honey, God's always speaking to you. The problem is you're not listening. That's why we have a 21-day fast at the beginning of the year. If you'll put your fork and your knife down, shove that plate away for a while, God is speaking and you will start hearing. You will hear him. Now, some of you are afraid. Say, well, you know, I take this medication, and if I start fasting, I'm going to die, and I don't want to die. You know how many people have died on a fast? I don't know. I haven't heard of a one. Nobody in here. And if you die, I do really great funerals, so don't worry about it. And I'll say, he died fasting for God for 21 days, you know. Went to glory in the middle of a fast. How great is that? You get to see Jesus face to face. But if you survive the fast, you're going to be a lot better off because you'll have heard from God. Some of you just say, I don't know. I got a good friend of mine who said, I never hear from God. I said, you hear from God all the time because I'm always talking to you about God. And you know you're getting it from, you're hearing from God because I'm telling you what God says. God will speak to you through a pastor, through the scripture, through somebody on radio or TV, you know, through a book. He spoke through Balaam's donkey. If you got old King James, he's got another word. I don't use that word. Right? If God will do that, certainly he could speak to you through his book, through his word, through a dream, through a vision, and give you something. Start latching onto it. In a minute, I'm going to show you how to make the scriptures personal, which will help you in this very arena of things. Now, when God speaks to you, don't trust your memory to remember it, because I know some of you can't remember anything, including me. But I tell you all the time when you ask me to do something, I say, send it to me in an email, write it down, because if you're trusting my memory, you're trusting the wrong thing, all right? Write it down, inscribe it. And I'll tell you something that'll happen. During a fast, test me on this. If you hear from God, maybe a sentence, maybe a word, and when you start writing it out, watch it start flowing. And how much more you'll get. I get pages from God just writing it down. You say, oh, well, that's just me. No, it's you writing. What if Paul said, oh, it's just me writing, you know, I just throw this stuff away. It was God inspiring him. Will God inspire you in the same way? I think so. We're not going to put you in the Bible. We'll put you in the kingdom, all right? But write it down, record it. Then start praying about it. I've got things in my briefcase. I've got things from years of fasting that are written down that I read over and over again to refresh it, to remind me, until I can pray about it so we can see those things come to pass. Start rejoicing before it happens. So I say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm out of debt. Hallelujah. Thank you that my children are in church. Thank you my kids are coming to church with me and sitting on the pew with me. Thank you for my grandkids. Thank you for my aunt, my uncle, my brothers, my sister, whatever the vision is. Thank you, Lord, that I'm going to be a teacher of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to use me in a greater way than I've ever been used before. Thank you, Lord, that you delivered me from whatever it is that's been bugging you and holding you down. Start praising God. The scripture says in the Psalms, it said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Start thanking him. In the New Testament, it says, bring your petitions before God, you know, with thankfulness. Let him know what's going on with thankfulness. Thanking him in advance. Believing in advance that it's already going to happen. That's a sign of faith. That's what people of faith do. Rejoice before it happens. See yourself fulfilling the dream. See it happening. Envision it. Some of you are daydreamers anyway. Some of your minds are a million miles away. Some of you are still looking at the Saints game last night. You know, some of you are thinking about stuff got nothing to do with what I'm saying. Pay attention. This is good for you. And during the fast, you'll be sharpened. Things will be clearer for you. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know this fasting stuff and this vision stuff. You know, that's just for other folks, not for me. Who told you that? Wasn't me. It is for you. Well, I'm just not that spiritual. Well, how you doing with what you got? How's it working for you? You know what the definition of a fanatic for Jesus is? It's somebody who loves Jesus more than you do. It's fanatical. It's okay to be fanatical for Christ. It's all right to be. The words of a great theologian and prophet who used to be in his church, Bud Pomaz, it's okay to be whacked out for Jesus. You know? It's okay. Well, what is my husband going to say? My wife going to say? My kids going to say? My mom, my dad? What are my neighbors going to say? What is the guy in the grocery line going to say about me? What do you care what they say? The only thing that matters is what does Christ say about you? Doing foolish. God said he chose the foolish things in the world to confound the wise. So let him do something foolish in your life. It's okay to be foolish. I remember the time Pat and I was preaching at the KOA campgrounds now. And they didn't have, Ro, you weren't there. I wish you would have been there. You could have saved me from the embarrassment of my life, all right? But I had been preaching, and I just had this thing come over me to sing a special. So I grabbed Pat. She was sitting like she normally does. I said, Pat, come up here by me, you know. I said, we're going to sing together. She looked at me like, we're going to do what? And we sang, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, man, we sang that song. The anointing came over us. It was great. Most of the people left, but we had a great time. Pat and I had a great time, right? But we just did it, you know. I didn't mind doing it. I remember one time Pat had a vision about me and a dream about me. I'm kind of a computer geek in many ways, you know, and I don't do a lot of stuff. And we were going to a little Bible study up in Picayune, and she, now this is a good wife. Ladies, y'all can take some advice from it. My wife was shining my shoes. She was polishing my shoes. And when she was praying over me, when she was polishing my shoes, she said, Lord, let him dance in his shoes. Let Morris dance in his shoes. I don't dance. I'm not much of a dancer. You know, I'm barely a two-stepper. You know, I'm just not a jitterbugger or nothing like that. And she prayed about that. We went to that Bible study. I didn't know about this was happening. And we went to this Bible study, and we had a little time of prayer. And man, I just felt my feet start to dance. And I just started dancing. I was jumping around, just having a good old time. And Pat's falling over laughing because I have no idea what's going on. You know, but she prayed something, and God put it in my shoes. Now you say, that's crazy. Well, it is crazy, but it's absolutely true. I'm telling you what happened. You know, and I began to dance. I didn't know what it was all about. And I enjoyed it. And it was great. It's okay to be foolish for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. You know? Let people laugh at you. Probably they need a good laugh anyway, all right? So just get and laugh at you and don't even worry about it. But we've gotten too sophisticated, and we need to get over our sophistication. And we need to start trusting and believing in God and being a fool for Jesus. I'd rather be a fool for Jesus than the wisest Einstein who ever lived. Amen. All right. Number two, what does God want us to do with our dreams? God wants you to be inspired by your dreams. Okay, all the unbelievers can leave right now because what I'm about to show you is only for believers. You say, well, that couldn't possibly be true, what I'm about to show you. It's only for believers, all right? If you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, you're watching over the internet and you're just playing church, you're not going to like this. Joel chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and the other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. Wow. That's right after this thing about I will pour out my spirit and these things will begin to happen. Your visions and dreams are the fuel for your faith for the future. You can latch on to somebody else's vision. Who was I talking to this morning? I don't remember who I was talking to somebody about this morning. You know, we're not Galatians. We're not from Ephesians, from Ephesus. You know, we're not Ephesians. But we read those books and we latch on to them, don't we? You know, we believe that. We'll start latching on to somebody else's vision. This is a vision for another people at another time. But you can latch on to it and make it your own. And I'm going to show you a way to do that. Make it your own through personalization. My threshing floors will be filled with grain. My threshing floor. It's talking about your labors, the things that you work at. You need a promotion. You need a job. You know, you need to have some extra cash. You need to have your refrigerator full. You need wood for your wood stove. You need some things. Begin to believe that. Begin to confess that. Begin to say that. This is your vision. This is the desire of your heart. My threshing floors will be full. A threshing floor is where they used to take the grain and knock the grain off of the stalks. And it was what they call a threshing floor, where they separated the grain from the chaff and the other things. And it says it'll be full. It'll be full. Y'all remember in the book of Ruth when she went out and was gleaning at the fields? When you gleaned at the fields, you got the little stuff that was left in the corner. Like if this was a field, God had instructed them through the law to leave some stuff in the corners so that the poor could come and get some stuff, some food for themselves. Well, she was out there gleaning in the field, and who did God send by? But her new husband-to-be, all right? And when he showed up, he told the workers, he said, look, when you're picking up my grain, I want you to put some extra grain down there where she can get it. You know, let her get some. And when she came home that day, she went back to see her mother-in-law. She had her apron, I'm trying to think of, filled with grain, overflowing. And she said, where did you get that? And she said, hey, I was down at the field gleaning, and they started giving me all this stuff. That's God's economy, beloved. You know, you can live on the meager stuff in the corner, or you can have it all. What do you want? You know, just start trusting God and believing God for great things. We've got a meager church mentality. You know, we think, well, I got to live, you know, in this hole for the rest of my life. Get out of the hole. You don't need to live there. God doesn't want you there. God didn't create you to be in poverty all your life. He created you to prosper. Say, well, you know, I just don't believe that. Well, how's it working for you? I ask once again. Say, well, let's just make believe. That's what people say about dreams. Oh, Joel, you don't really believe all that stuff. Man, we've been beaten up by everybody in town. God has sent armies against us because of our unbelief and the things we did wrong. And we don't deserve nothing. And we, you know, we deserve to live in abject poverty and under the thumb and the rule of ungodly Gentiles forever and ever and ever because of what we did. And Joel said, in the last days, God said, he'll pour out his spirit. And then he said what we just read, the threshing floors will be filled with new grain. And God will prosper you. And that wasn't enough. He said, and read it this way, my vats, you see it up here? Change it. My vats will overflow with new wine and oil. I believe that's talking about spiritual things. Wine and oil, always speak of spiritual things. That you can have some spiritual things take place in your life. Aren't you tired of the flesh? You're tired of the flesh. It's always bugging us, isn't it? You know, it's taking us places we want to go, seeing things we don't want to see, doing stuff we don't want to do, and staying longer than we want to stay. That's what the flesh will do for you. But the Spirit will set us free from those things. Paul said, we're no longer slaves to the flesh. No longer a slave to the flesh. No longer a slave to sin like we were before. But God in Christ Jesus has set us free from that we might live in the Spirit. In the book of Ephesians it says, God has, past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We are now, today, in God's economy, seated with him in the heavenly places. That is the spiritual inheritance of the people of God. And we need to start latching on to that stuff. Well, I've never prophesied. You can prophesy. I've never spoken in other tongues. You can speak in other tongues. I've never healed the sick. You can heal the sick. I've never prospered. You can prosper. I've never prophesied. You can prophesy. You can interpret messages in tongues. Well, I just never did that before. Well, that's the problem. I got a book in my library at home that says, The Last Seven Words of a Dying Church. But we've never done it this way before. We've never done it this way before. God created you to be a spiritual being. God poured out his spirit upon you, the church. And God poured into you gifts of the Holy Spirit that those gifts might be used not only for you but for others. You are a spiritual being endowed by God with his divine presence that he might move in you and through you to accomplish his goodwill. And that's God's plan for your life. How'd you like your vats overflowing with spiritual things? How'd you like to be bubbling all the time? Just bubbling over, pouring out. That's not having enough. That's having more than enough. God will repay me for the years the locusts have eaten. Man, some of you need to hear this. You know, I know you messed up. I know you did stupid things. Join the stupid club. We've all done it. We've all messed up. But you don't have to keep going that way any longer. God will restore the years that you and the devil and the enemies of God have destroyed. He'll restore those years. You know, I'm about to say something. One of the things that's wrong with sometimes when I say things like this, you'll say, oh, well, God did that for you, but he wouldn't do it for me. Get that thought out of your mind, all right? When I came into the kingdom, I was broke and in debt and in trouble, and my marriage was in trouble. My life was in trouble. I had zero hope of anything good ever happening. I was depressed. I was taking drugs, legal drugs. I was taking them illegally, but they were legal drugs. I mean, I was taking more than I was supposed to take because that's where I was, and I didn't see any way out of that hole. And God showed up and transformed my life. And I've never been the same. And all the years that I wasted, and all the years that the locusts ate, and all the fruit of my labors that he stole, God had restored them to me 1,000 times 1,000-fold. And sometimes some of you look at me and say, oh, well, you're doing so good because you're so smart. I'm the guy who flunked every course you could in school. You know, I'm a guy who didn't do good in school. I was a C student. C's here again. You know, the reason I went back to school was because my daddy would have killed me if I didn't go to school. You know, that's the only reason I have an education. It's because my little beady-eyed Italian daddy made me go. You know? But God prospered me according to his riches and glory. We have a lot of nice things. But you know what? If God took every one of my things away tomorrow, I'd still serve him and praise him. But I don't believe that he will. I don't believe that he will, because it restored to me the years that were wasted. Some of you wasted a lot of years. Some of you not spring chickens any longer, and you wasted a lot of years. It's time to let God start moving in your life and restoring those years that the enemy stole from you. Now, if you don't hear anything else I've said today, you need to hear that. It's time for a change. You don't have to be that way anymore. Things can be different. Beloved, I don't teach a prosperity gospel to try to get something out of you. I'm teaching the truth that you might hear it and you might believe it and that you might begin to act on it. My time for overcoming is now. That's personalization of the scripture. It's my time. It's my day. It's for me. You know, it's okay to be selfish about some things, about things of the Spirit that God wants to do in your life. It's okay to say those things. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for the people of Joel's day and what he did for the people of Paul's day is the same thing he'll do for your life today. If I were you, I'd take this passage of Scripture and I'd memorize it. I'd learn it. I'd let it sink into my being. And it'll replace the thoughts that the enemy has put in your life and get those things out of there so you can start thinking spiritually. He says this, your floors are full and your vats are overflowing. That means you'll have the necessities and abundance. Necessities and abundance. Necessities and abundance. Your Heavenly Father knows what you have a need of, but he also wants to bless you beyond that. See, people don't like to hear this. You know, they think we ought to, you know, just preach a poverty message. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be overflowing spiritually and physically. He wants you to have a fat bank account. He wants you to have food on your table. He wants you to have enough, not only for you, but that you can give to others. That's God's plan. Go read the scriptures. It's all over the place about God's divine plan for his people. The word grace talks about unmerited favor. Actually, it's more than that. It's really all about Christ. And Christ wants to take care of you and to prosper you and to build good things in your life. Why does he want to do that? I don't know. You ask him. You don't deserve it. You don't. And neither do I. And I don't want what I deserve. If I got what I deserved, it's not a pretty picture. I'd rather have what he gives. Grace upon grace. Grace without measure. And that's what this is a picture of, this prophetic word that we just read in Joel. It's grace upon grace. It's a restoration and it's prosperity beyond what you deserve. You don't deserve it, but God's willing to give it. Your losses of the past are obliterated and your red ink becomes black ink for a change. Things Satan and his crowd have stolen will be repaid. Now, what I'm about to say, please don't misunderstand this, because I don't believe in a salvation by works. I don't believe you can do anything in the world to make God love you anymore. I don't think there's a thing that you can do that can stir God and say, oh, well, I'm going to love them because they're so wonderful. No, not at all. Nothing you can do to make God hate you or love you any less than he loves you right now. But here's something that you can do. People always wonder, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You can sharpen your spiritual sword by going through a 21-day fast. Some of you have already decided you didn't want to do this. But I'm telling you, you need to jump on board with us and do it. It's only 21 days. 21 days. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, even Medicare will pay for 21 days in the old folks' home for you. Yeah? I mean, 21 days is nothing. It's a piece of cake. 21 days. 3 weekends. And it's not even 3 full weekends. This weekend's, you know, almost shot already. Going after, and after lunch, after we fatten up for today, don't overeat, all right? Just make yourself sick. But when the fork goes down, it's the end of the old way and the start of a new way. This passage of Scripture that we just read, these words are there. It says, I will repay. I will repay. That's God speaking. God will repay. All right, I know it's getting a little late, but that's okay. The Saints aren't on today, so it doesn't matter. You know, we already got the victory. You know, you only got one more meal. You can take a leisurely meal, go home and go to bed and get it over with, and you can wake up in the morning and go. You'll sleep late, get up early, the faster will go by faster, okay? All right, here's what I want to talk to you about fasting for just a little bit. And I've got this in your bulletins for you so that you won't forget about it. I want you to use the Nike principle. It's not in the Bible, but it ought to be. Just do it. Thank you very much. All right. As a man who knows Nike commercials, just do it. Determine what kind of fast you're going to do. You can do a full fast, just drinking water and liquids. You can do that for 21 days. You won't die. There's enough nutrition in a 100% bottle of juice to keep you alive for 21 days. All right? You determine if you want to do a full fast. You can do a partial fast. That's just eating the basic foods you need to survive. Basic foods, I know it's one of the food groups, but it's not chocolate candy, all right? It's not pecan pie. It's not cannolis, you know? It's none of those things. So forget about that stuff. Well, I just bought this stuff, and it's going to go bad in the refrigerator. Go home so it won't be bad in the refrigerator. Take it out, wrap it up, throw it in the garbage can. All right? That way you won't have to worry about it. It'll be gone. I don't believe in freezers, but you can freeze it if you want. All right.
Or give it away.
No, don't give it to anybody you know because it's supposed to be fasting. All right. You can do a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is probably the easiest fast to do for most of you. For me, it's the worst. Because what you do is you abstain from pleasant food and you eat vegetables. You know, if I eat something green, it just, the thought of it is more than, I'd just soon not eat than eat something green. But I don't know what I'm going to do, all right? So, or do some modification of that. Do what you can do, but the amount of effort that you put in this is going to determine a great measure what you get out of it, all right? What you want to do is you want to at least get to the place where you're feeling it. By the way, if you get headaches during the fast, you will not die. It's okay. If you're on medication of some kind, you can call your doctor and talk to your doctor and ask him which foods you can take and can't take. You know, you can eat fruit and stuff, you know, on a Daniel fast. So you'll get enough. There are people who live their whole life on the kind of food that we're talking about you fasting with, all right? And you'll be in better health when Daniel went on his fast because he was the king wanted him to eat the stuff from, you know, what's the name of the place? Walmart. He just said, no, he wanted to eat his food, which is better. And after a period of time when the king let him do that, he and his buddies were in better shape than anybody else. So this will be good for you. For health-wise, it'll be good for you. I told you this the first time I did this fast. I didn't talk to my doctor about it, even though I was taking some medication. I just did it by faith. I don't recommend that, just what I did. So I went through the fast, and I had an appointment to see the doctor a couple of months later, and I asked him, I said, would it be okay for me if I went on a fast and just had, like, fruit juice and, you know, water for 21 days? He said, oh, yeah, it won't hurt you. Do you good. The doctor said, he's got a medical degree. Not all the doctors I've been to had medical degrees. This one just happened to have one, all right? Join me. Let me just back up a little bit. Y'all okay? Y'all want some instruction about this? Okay? All right. I'm going to give it anyway. What you're doing is you're denying your flesh so that your spirit can rise up. Because every time you get hungry, or every time you pass by the fridge, or every time you pass by the cabinet, or every time you smell McDonald's, don't drive by McDonald's. You don't normally smell it, but when you drive by and you pass it, you will smell it, okay? For heaven's sakes, don't go by Outback. Oh, man, oh, gee, that'll do you in, all right? Stay away from the restaurants, all right? But when you feel that hunger pain or when you think about food, that's the trigger. That's the trigger. It's like a trigger on a gun that goes off. And what it should do is should fire your spiritual thoughts. Lord, I thank you that I can do this fast. Lord, I praise you and worship you. And take it as a moment to start feeding yourself spiritual input. Lord, would you help me? Would you give me strength? All right? So if you start doing it, so what the fast does, it puts the flesh down and your spirit gets a chance to get out of jail and starts rising up. Okay? Got that? Now, do your best to come here while we're praying. I already mentioned that. It'll really, really help you to be among us. To listen to me commiserate of how bad I feel or how good I feel. You know, it'll really encourage one another. Make it personal. Here's the things. Fast for things that you need in your life. It's okay. This is something you can talk to God about, things that you need in your life. Fast about a problem you have in your life. If you've got something that you can't get over, if you're dealing with some sinful behavior in your life, maybe it's a temper, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's just a multiplicity of things. This is good things to fast about, and you can get these things broken off of your life. Pray for a spiritual uplift in your life. Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your voice. So pray about those things. Pray for this church. I want you to pray for New Beginnings Church. There are a couple of things. I want you to pray for the wisdom about the radio station. You got some decisions to make concerning the radio station. And I tell you all about it. It's not that it's a big secret. It just takes too long to unfold that whole story to you. I believe God wants us to do it, and we're just getting some headwinds. Pray for withstanding for the leadership of the church to be able to stand against the devil. The devil just loves to come here and just raise hell with us and cause people to have all kinds of problems that they don't need to have. I'll give you a case in point. I walk in pretty good health. I really do. Pat will tell you, I'm pretty good, except when she wants me to do something, that's when I don't feel good. But but normally I'm feeling pretty good. And I went to get up off the sofa the other day, pain in my hip. I've never had a pain in my hip. I've had a pain in my back, but never a pain in my hip. And I'm just kind of stumbling around. I said, man, there's something wrong with my hip. I thought, man, I probably need hip surgery. Something is going on. And then I heard myself say, you're not believing that nonsense, are you? That's just a work of the devil trying to slow me down. Now, I went through the whole day with that. And I kept saying, my favorite scripture for when I get sick, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And I knew it was just a work of the enemy, just poking in my flesh. And by the end of the day, it was all gone. I was fine. I hadn't had it back yet. It's just not yet. I haven't had it back, period, end of sentence, all right? Okay, pray for the well-being of the sick in our church. A lot of people are sick and having problems. We heard some requests this morning, and during the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here, we'll pray for those things specifically, right? So do all of those things. Get one of these little brochures. It'll help you. If you have a problem during the fast, just call me. If you want to encourage someone, if you think about, let's say, think about George. That's a big thought. If you think about George, call him up. Say, George, how you doing on the fast? If he's not fasting, he's going to be fast-tracking on you, all right? Now, just encourage him. Say, oh, man, you ought to do it. I can't do the whole thing like the pastor said, but, this is what I'm doing. Encourage one another. Provoking one another to good works, right? So be in communication with each other. It'll do you good. And if you give me an email, I'll be in touch with you. Okay, I'm going to stop there. One last thing I need to tell you. Next week, I'm really pumped up. Next week's going to be part 3, New Beginnings of 2014. Since I'm talking about dreams, I'm going to the biggest dreamer in the Bible. You'll know who it is? No, you're not in the Bible. The biggest dreamer in the Bible. Who is it?
Joseph.
Joseph, yeah. And we're going to talk about what happens to dreamers. What happens to dreamers, all right? That'll be next week, Lord willing. Okay? I don't apologize for keeping you here this late. You needed to hear this, and so it just took me a little while to get through it. Actually, I'd have been finished early if all you people didn't have something to say, you know, during the time after the worship, so it's really your fault. Okay. Skip a meal, kneel, repent, repeat, more praying, less eating. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm encouraged. We're going to go out and have lunch somewhere, eat lunch, and then that's it. And the fast begins. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of serving you. Lord, we have great expectations for this year and for this fast. Lord, help us, strengthen us to be able to do the things that you've called us to do, to put aside the food, or as Jensen Franklin says, to put aside King's stomach and start paying attention to King Jesus. Lord, we want to worship you during this fast. Keep us healthy. Sustain us by your Spirit. Let us do the right things that you would have us to do. Teach us from your word. Speak to us in our dreams and visions. And let us hear from you. And Father, 21 days from now, if you so tarry and we're in this building, ending our fast, let us come in rejoicing with great testimonies over the things that you've done in our lives during this fast. We submit ourselves to you. I pray for all the hundreds of thousands of believers just like us who are thinking about starting their fast today and beginning it. Thank you for Jensen Franklin and his church. I ask you to bless him, Father, for having inspired us to join with him and his church and in the hundreds and thousands of churches around the world who are fasting, that together we will go through this. And it won't be something we're in a rush to get over with, but it's something that we will enjoy every day. Every day in closer fellowship with you. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus the Lord. And the whole bunch said,
Amen.
Amen. All right.